It's Thursday, July 31st, 2014, and you're listening to Last Time on Video Games, the show about retro video games and sometimes some other stuff. You're listening to episode 73, Maze Munchies. Runtime for this episode is 42 minutes. Hello and welcome to Last Time on Video Games, the podcast where Zach will pause awkwardly even if I don't make a joke. My name is Jeremy.
I'm Cherries for Bananas. I'm Tyler.
And I'm Zach.
Notice how we didn't pause awkwardly.
But I'm the editor.
Oh, you suck. The one time I don't pause awkwardly is going to make me pause awkwardly. You just need to make that into a sound clip so you don't actually have to do it every time.
What, you pausing awkwardly?
No, the ha-ha-ha-ha.
Yo, no. Yeah, that's why I did it. It's not going this podcast. It's for podcast future.
I am the ghost of podcast future.
Sure.
Nothing has really changed.
What have you been playing in the podcast future?
Like a crap ton of Payday 2. Like I spent an entire day just playing Payday 2.
Yeah, you were on there a long time.
Well, that's because Ed was playing. And we actually got like four people I actually know playing together at one point. It was pretty awesome. We had Ed, Alex's brother, and Ryan all doing heist together. So.
Yeah, I'd really like to try playing that game. I'm just waiting for it to either go back on sale or go for free.
That's right. If you're interested, I'll buy you a copy. We tried to rent it on Jeremy's computer and found that his computer can't take it. So
it can almost take it.
Almost.
It runs everything smooth. It just has about 3/4 of a second of input lag and on anything.
If his computer can't run it, then I shouldn't have a problem.
But yes, that's logic.
Yeah, that's how that works, right?
Just because your conclusion is valid doesn't mean the way you got there is.
Oftentimes
in logical proofs, they give you the conclusion.
But yeah, no, the input lag would be absolutely game-killing. I don't think you'd do it.
Well, in anything that has quick reactions, like a shooter.
But I've bamboozled you into giving me lending privileges to your Steam library.
That is true.
So anytime I can borrow a game from you, ha-ha!
Yoo-ha!
I haven't done that yet.
But we've gotten much better at it. We can actually pull heist successfully. It helps that Ed's like level 60 now. So does he have
drills that don't break?
And are also silent.
And by don't break, I mean sometimes they don't break.
Yeah, they have a 30% chance of restarting themselves if they do break, and they're silent so people can't hear them somehow.
Well, if you add me in there, it's mostly a matter of how long before Zach gets bored and starts shooting.
We need an enforcer, so if you actually want to play that way, we actually need someone to play that way.
Okay, so Zach, play Pokemon, and then when we start yelling at you, that's when you have to shoot things.
Okay, Zach, sit in this truck.
Dum-dum-dum. Waiting.
Oh, crap! Oh, crap!
That looks like it's a problem. All right, fine. Guess I have to work now.
I actually managed to get, it was while we still only had three of us, Ryan hadn't joined a game yet. It was one of the games we had never managed to do successfully, and I had almost pulled it off by myself once, but decided that it was impossible to do with one person, really, because you get like some other guards that come in halfway through and like immediately call the cops if they see anything wrong, which at that point you have hostages all over the floor, so there's obviously something wrong.
And the floor is just really cool, guys.
Right. But I couldn't get to them in time, and I decided that we needed more people. But we actually pulled it off with three people without the alarm ever going off. It was excellent.
Golf clap.
Yeah.
Well done.
It is so satisfying in that game when you manage to pull a job without the cops getting called.
I also hear it's basically impossible.
It's definitely impossible if you're playing with a bunch of assholes, which happens a lot. Like, if you're playing online, people can just drop in the middle of a game, and a lot of people just, like, drop in, fire a shotgun at a hostage point-blank range, and then pop out. I don't know why they do that. It's like,
because people like to grief each other for no better reason than they can.
Ed was like, I admire their dedication to trolling, but
it's also a game where you can carry as many industrial drills as you want, but you can only get 2 zip ties unless you upgrade your zip tie capacity.
And you can only carry 1 bag of lightweight objects, so but you can carry infinite amounts of jewelry so long as you don't have to shove the jewelry in a bag. Logic. It's a fun game, though, despite all the weird, maybe not weird, but non-real life things.
All the gaminess?
Yeah.
You need that in a game.
I've also played a lot of Monokamiya, and it's a good game. So, that's all I have to say about it. It is probably my favorite JRPG ever. So.
Blasphaheresy.
So, Zach, what have you been playing?
I've been playing a lot of League. You know, because that's what I do. A lot of Pokemon X. I got my old team gunning for the Elite Four, just looking to beat them. And then
Modest goals. I just want to beat the 4 best people in the world, and also the 5th person.
To be fair, that's actually not a very lofty goal for a Pokemon game.
It's not, but
in this one, it was because of how hard it was for me to beat them in Y. Specifically, beat the water guy in Y that I really want to get through this time on the first try.
Maybe you shouldn't use a parachute.
I didn't use a parachute.
I thought you did.
What the hell?
Oh, no, Emolga. You used Emolga.
Yes. Something just as terrible.
I had a Deaden on my team, which is as bad as an Emolga.
It's at least fairy type. So you can switch it into Outrage.
That is true.
I did get a Spiritomb in a random mystery gift. Or not mystery gift, a mystery trade with somebody.
Although Spiritomb is no longer weakness-free, which is sad.
No, but I thought it was like some kind of weird, funky legendary because I'd never heard of it before.
It's a quasi-legendary. There's only one in the game that it comes from. So
it's like Snorlax.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
There aren't really legends about it, but it's cool, bro. Cool.
I'm definitely going to keep that when I trade all my Pokemon from this game into Y, since I told my brother he can play X once I get my Pokemon off of there.
Come to think of it, there are legends about every Pokemon. I mean, that's most of what the Pokedex is. Not scientific data, but legends and anecdotes and old stories.
That is actually entirely accurate.
And then,
except for Mewtwo.
I mean, there are some exceptions. I think Porygon is all actual information.
Because it was recently created.
Yeah, but plenty of them are just legend. I feel like the legendary birds themselves might have more accurate information. Although it says they like cause storms and
stuff like that.
Stuff like that, so it's probably hyperbole.
The last game I was playing is on this Monday, our game, because Cody had to bail due to factors outside of his control.
He didn't even get Christian Bale to cover for him.
We played a little bit of Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
Yes, we did. I'm going to tell a story about that later.
And I am clearly the best player of fighting games here, because the last times I've played fighting games with the two of you people, I have crushed you both.
Let's play some dive kick after we record.
No. I played really well. I kept getting you with Ryu, I kept getting Jeremy with Ryu's
Kamehameha.
Yeah, because
fighting games.
And he would do the smart thing, jump over it. Yeah. I knew he was going to jump over it.
And you can angle it up.
Yeah, so I just kept catching him with it. I only lost one game, and that was when I hit the random all button and got characters I had no idea how to play.
Speaking of that, this is irrelevant because this Kickstarter ended today, but Yomi, the fighting game card game, got funded, and there's a free online version of it.
That actually sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, I think you would like it. You should check it out, Tyler. I will link it to you.
Sweet. And I'll probably link it in the show notes
something. We should verse in it.
Oh, okay.
The free online version.
Yes.
I considered backing the Kickstarter for our board game nights, but it's only two players since it's a fighting game.
I play Hadouken.
I realized today that I should really get on putting up the NFL fantasy football thing. I keep forgetting.
Yeah, I was editing this week's show notes and notice the conspicuous lack of a link to the league. So
it'll be up by not next week's episode, because
before the end of the next football season, maybe
it'll be up. It'll be up before August on the site. I mean, the episode may not be out, but I'll have it up before August. The draft is set for it's set before the games start, so I can move it around as well. That's just my fault.
Speaking of fantasy, I noticed you actually played with your fantasy League of Legends team this morning.
I did, yes.
And you actually made smart choices. So now I'm scared I might not beat you. I actually realized that I have to win all of my games for the rest of the league, and you have to lose all of yours for me to defeat you.
I can't.
My evil robot can defeat you a little more easily.
Although I think you're already doomed, because I'll just beat Zach every time
I know.
But this time I have more support.
Yes, you do. Why did you pick up SK Gaming, you fool?
It seemed like a good idea at the time.
They're on a death slide.
There was nobody else available. Dignitas is also on a death slide. Who'd I have before?
They are.
Somebody stole Fnatic out from underneath me, because I thought...
And Kevin, thanks for both of those. They were very helpful. They've really helped me turn my season around.
They weren't doing very well when I had them.
Yeah, you trained them very well.
What can I say? I'm just...
Zach, you're my farm League of Legends fantasy team.
Hey, you know, somebody's got to be it.
At least you got rid of Glebe, so that was good.
Yeah, well, he's getting dropped anyway.
Yeah, I didn't know if you would know that. I was actually going to text you, but you had already dropped him.
I saw people were talking about it on the forums.
Ah, okay. Okay, so I've been watching all the esports because they were all last weekend.
Oh, that's true. I forgot about that.
There was Red Bull Battlegrounds, which is a big StarCraft tournament. There was League of Legends, like we just talked about, and Evo.
What the heck is Evo?
Evo is the big fighting game tournament
in
Las Vegas. They had a really good Blaze Blue tournament. I don't even play Blaze Blue.
I really like Blaze Blue.
The art style is really cool, and the finals were really, really good.
I should probably watch them.
Yeah, I actually have a link to them.
Like, awesome.
Also, fighting game commentators, you know how you have so bad there's good? You know how there's this idea that something can be so bad it gets good and then goes back to being bad again?
Yeah.
Fighting game commentators are so good they become bad and then go back to being good again.
What?
You'd have to listen to learn, but you know how, like, you don't know about Deadpool's where your curly mustache at line? You know how you're like, what's that about? Deadpool, one of his victory lines in Marvel vs. Capcom is, I just beat Mag freaking Nito. Hey, where your curly mustache at?
I didn't know we had that second part of the line.
Yeah, you were commenting on it when we played Marvel vs. Capcom
I?
In your story. Anyway, that comes from a commentator. He said, Magneto's so cheap, he's like Pringles. And so, like, his
And hey,
thing,
where's your curly mustache?
Yeah, whenever there was a really good Magneto, he'd always be like, this guy's so Pringles, he's gonna beat him up. And whenever someone was a bad Magneto player, he'd be like, yo, where your curly mustache at?
This guy's so Pringles.
And that's what fighting game commentators are all like. In the Blaze Blue, like, finals, it's very tense. It was very, very exciting. But he's like, this man is a god! Oh my god! We are visiting the birth of a legend! But this other man is also a god! And he's trying to shut him down! Who is gonna be it? And that's worth the blowout on the mics. It was so good.
I'll take your word for it.
And then Cloud9 beat Curse in the Super Smash Bros. Tournament.
Wait, what? What?
Yeah, Cloud9 beat Curse in the Super Smash
Cloud
Bros. Tournament.
Cloud9 has a Super Smash Bros. Team, and apparently so does Curse.
Well, they're both one guy.
Oh.
But the one guy for Cloud9 won Evo and MLG this year.
Wow.
So he's generally considered the best Smash player in the world right now.
Sweet.
Marvel vs. Capcom is an incredibly hard game to watch because so much is going on, but it's also fun. And Street Fighter 4 was really, really good.
Huh. Kind of surprised. I guess it's just, I'm not surprised now that I'm thinking about it, because there are a lot of really good players of that game. I just stopped playing because everyone else is so much better.
Yeah, and like, I tried to play some Marvel vs. Capcom and felt bad about myself after watching them. It can look so easy. You just off the ground here, and then you do the combo, and
I know I suck, so I don't worry too much about it.
Well, I definitely don't worry about it. The one time I've tried to play with anyone outside of my skill range, several times I tried to play anyone slightly outside of my skill range. Turns out there isn't a slightly. It's like a cliff.
Well, the only time I've ever done really well on an online game, I was playing Dead or Alive 4, and, you know, it's a one-on-one game, but you had people in the lobby. I perfected somebody, like, the first time I was on the thing, and I could hear one of the people that was on there. Holy it was not a very slow fight. It was go dead.
Tyler and I tried to play some game of Crusader Kings.
Yeah, except Jeremy's client kept freezing, which was sad.
We were
Robert Baratheon and Eddard Stark trying to thwart the Mad King.
I still need to download that mod.
Yeah, and then you can try to play with us and my client could crash some more.
Although Zach could probably run it.
Probably.
So.
I don't know what was causing the crashes.
I have no idea.
Or you could run it.
Well, no, it wasn't that. I was hosting. It's Jeremy's computer, or Jeremy's, like, client of the game just crashed for no apparent reason several times.
And I was coming to bail you out, too.
I know. I was getting swarmed by the Mad King's troops. He had, like, 15,000 of them, and I had, like, 6,000.
And you didn't have Ike.
No, I didn't have Ike.
Sad day.
He had Robert Baratheon, though.
I did. He was jovial and also a warrior.
But he doesn't have blue hair.
No.
Therefore, he's not a main character and can't help.
Oh, well. I've got blue hair.
He's
Am I the
main
character here?
He's a main character in the
first
book.
I'm the main character of the podcast.
No, you're not.
What? Why not? I have blue hair.
No, you're the crossover character from a different, sillier anime.
Oh, okay.
That the author also did, and you're like, why are you even here? This is an anime about laser blasting people, not harems.
And I'm from Excel.
And then I've been playing some competitive Pokemon battling on Smogon.
Oh. Cool beans. I didn't know you had picked that back up.
Only sort of. They're probably going to ban Aegislash, and I wanted to get some. Maybe not, but he's on the suspect list right now, and he's super strong.
He is really good if you have the right moveset. So.
And everybody does. Yeah. And there are like 3 right movesets, which makes him more of a threat.
Yep. Man, I should get on that. I used to like care about that, and then I stopped competitive battling, so.
Yeah, Lucario got banned. Or specifically Mega Lucario.
Okay.
And Mega Gengar. And Aegislash, like I said, is probably next.
So Mega Gengar.
Yeah,
I can
Mega Gengar was a given.
That breaks the metagame a little bit.
And I feel like there was something else. Let's see. Nope, must be imagining it.
Have you played any Rogue Legacy?
No, I haven't. I was thinking I should.
I was going to pick that up. I just haven't gotten around to playing it again yet.
Oh, I played a little bit, and then, I don't know, the New Game Plus mode is brutal. Oh, God, it's so hard.
You know, isn't that kind of the thing, the idea?
Oh, yeah, definitely. But at one point, I cleared every single room in the castle before going and trying to fight the end boss, and now I can barely clear the castle again. So it's just like starting the game over, except I have all my equipment.
Oh, speaking of starting over and having all your equipment, that's a terrible transition. I'm going to try.
You have no equipment in Pac-Man.
You know, no, I was going to get somewhere else first.
Oh, okay.
Speaking of stuff I haven't done for a while, I haven't been to an arcade in a long time. And by a long time, I mean probably a year, and probably more recently than either of you guys.
What's an arcade?
Yeah, I think that's accurate. It's been like 3 years for me.
Did you never go to the one in Mills when you were on campus?
That's the last time I went.
Okay.
So, and there was like no one there when I was there.
I legitimately don't remember the last time
I
went to an arcade.
Actually, mine was 2 years ago. I went to Dave & Buster's 2 years ago, and they had multiplayer Pac-Man, which is fun.
Huh.
That's a thing?
Yeah, it's new. It's not very good, but it's fun.
This is random, but I was looking at a list of, like, all the games Nintendo had ever published. They made a Versus Legend of Zelda arcade cabinet.
Yeah.
How does that even work?
No one knows. But arcades are cool. That's where you would find games like Pac-Man.
Actually, I thought Pac-Man would be closer to finding it in a Pizza Hut or something.
Yeah, that's actually, well, a lot of, like, random...
I suppose nowadays it would be more like a Pizza Hut, but in the when it first came out, it would be, like, a major staple of an arcade.
Well, and bars. It was made as a bar game.
That too. Yeah.
That's actually...
But no, the only canonical drunk? Pizza Hut games are Area 51 and Cruisin' World. Those are the only canonical Pizza Hut games.
Because those are the ones that are at the Pizza Hut near us?
Yes.
Actually, they don't even have Area 51 anymore.
I thought they did. I was just there like a
week
ago.
I thought it was like a jukebox
And they're like, do you want a Ninja Turtles pizza? And I'm like, that's a good marketing tie, but I refuse to pay anything that might get money to Michael Bay one day.
What's the difference between that and a regular pizza?
The Ninja Turtles pizza has cheesy bread that like pulls off like popcorn bites.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
Also extra pepperoni.
That's less amazing, but the
green.
Cheesy bread part.
I'd make it green.
No. Have you watched the Ninja Turtles?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not the new movie.
No, that doesn't count. That's not
I'd still make it green.
Okay.
With, like, some delicious bell peppers? Bell peppers seem like they should be good on pizza and aren't.
No, I meant, like, you make the cheese green.
It's just like putting more water on the pizza. Only in green form.
I prefer not green bell peppers for that reason, because they have, like, more of a tangy taste.
To me, I feel like... Anyway, this is completely
the pizza cast.
No, peppers. Like, I was about to get into varieties of bell pepper, and like how green is the best, red is the middle, and yellow is objectively the worst.
Orange
is interesting, but I've never had it.
I order them exactly the opposite, except orange sits on top, so.
Ah, see, maybe I just need orange, and maybe we can agree on the pepper kingdom once I get orange.
I don't eat them, so.
That's, Alex and I have a canonical list of slimes and jellies of intelligence by color.
Where's Peach?
Peach is actually fairly near the bottom. Green jelly is actually the smartest of all slime-type organisms.
Okay.
Which isn't very... It's not... And red is by far the least stupid, and it actually kind of follows a rainbow order spectrum. So, Peach would be nearish red.
See, guys, this is what happens when we play simple games and you don't send us emails to read. So send us some emails. Jeremy@lasttimeonvideogames.com.
Beelzebub! No.
We don't have him. There are no Lords of Flies on this podcast.
That's although if you send anything to @lasttimeonvideogames.com, it all ends up in the catcher. So
yeah, but how often do you check the catcher?
Like once a week.
Oh, okay.
We mostly get spam.
Yeah, I know. I got like 6 emails about the Kardashians and what they're up to, and I'm like, I don't want to keep up with that.
What are they up to? I don't know. Ooh, this one's offering me a sniper rifle. I think I've got something to do.
They also told me my dick was too small and I'm fat.
I don't know about the first one, but the second one's obvious.
It's obvious that you're fat, too, via this audio medium.
That is
it's
true.
It's obvious you're the fattest, because I'm the editor.
I am immensely fat. I'm huge. I'm like freaking
you
the blob.
You can't see it, but we're actually recording at a ping-pong table, and Zach is just, like, covering the entire table.
It's like Jabba the Hutt.
One of these days, we're going to have pictures of us on the internet. Well, pictures of everyone but me.
There are pictures of me on the internet.
There's already
there
pictures,
are also
of, me
pictures
on the
of you on the internet.
Okay.
Like, linked to our...
Yeah.
Page.
Say there's one, like, actually of me linked to the page, so.
If you look
that.
At the blog thing that people can contribute on on the page, I don't exist.
Oh, really?
No, he's Hambone.
Oh, well.
Because it linked into my already existing Blogger account.
I mean, obviously. Anyway, PacDug.
Yeah, oh, well, actually, one more thing. Back when there were arcades, you played games, instead of trying to beat the game and get the sweet ending, because the ending was usually just the end, or error.
You mostly tried to go for high score, so you could get your initials at the top of the high score list and go, look, I'm a pretty cool guy. It's like social media, but back in the 70s.
Man, the 70s had even worse social media than Facebook. Man, I thought MySpace was bad.
But that's basically, like, if you were the guy on the top score of, like, a pinball machine or an arcade machine, you were the coolest guy at an arcade, which wasn't saying a whole lot.
You were the lord of the nerds.
I mean, like, regular people went to arcades.
Yeah, and Pizza Hut.
And Pizza Hut.
All right, I'll give you that.
What games have you played for score, Tyler?
Oh, no, I don't even know what it was called. It was like a joystick controlled, you're like playing a giant flying car. It had passable 3D graphics for the mid-90s. Oh, no, I had the high score on that for a long time, but I was, I think, the only person who ever played it, so.
That's a good skill to have.
Indeed. This is an odd game to play for high score, but I had the high score on a a Capcom vs. SNK 3 machine in Mills.
Yeah,
so.
Why do fighting games have score?
I don't even...
Arbitrary.
I got
a... That's not a reason. That's an adjective.
I would agree because the score is arbitrary.
Because it came from when they...
When scores
when they
mattered.
Started and when it mattered.
Yeah, I don't know that scores ever mattered for fighting games.
I don't know that I play arcade games for high score, though, because I mostly just play because they're fun.
Usually you might be bored waiting for your lane at a bowling alley. Nowadays, I mean, that's probably why a lot of people use them now.
Well, I played StarCraft for score. StarCraft for score? Well, I played Star Fox for score, pretty much.
Yeah,
or
that is
true. Or something similar to it. How many kills can I get and how quickly can I finish?
If they had a Star Fox, oh man, why isn't there a Star Fox arcade machine? There should totally be one.
Because they were going to put it on the Virtual Boy.
Star Fox 64 came out after the Virtual Boy, so it's not like Star Fox was thrown in that hole and could never crawl out.
No, I mean, like, port Star Fox 64 to an arcade cabinet.
No, that would be great with the joystick and, like, if you wanted to get really fast, see gyros in the chair.
I suspect that would be a good game to have at, like, a Vegas arcade or something.
I would play that game.
Oh, no. Have you ever played games for high score, Zach?
No.
At arcades? Like, I never really did.
Not at arcades, not at home, never. I don't play for high score. I play for completion, usually. The closest I've ever come is in firefight modes, like in specifically Reach. But
although score is more a measure of just how long you last in that.
I
anyway,
don't.
So.
Well, Reach is just how fast can I do it, because Reach really screwed it up. But in ODST, score basically is just, in ODST to me, is how long did I last.
Exactly.
I don't play it to see how long I went. Of course, having the little feather that means absolutely nothing in my cap that I was playing one game of Firefight longer than Jeremy had been awake at one point was pretty fun.
Yeah, but even like Pac-Man, your score is usually based on how long you've been playing.
Yep.
Well, unless you had
certain modifiers.
I feel like that's how you aggregate score in general, because clearly the longer you've been playing, the higher score goes, as long as you continue moving.
Well, usually it's also got some kind of added thing thrown in there that gives bonus points, but
if
usually...
you're skilled.
Yeah. Headshots provide more points than just knocking somebody off.
Yeah, but if you last 10 times as long as Headshot McGee, you're probably going to do better.
Headshot
McGee. So why do you think they don't make more games where the design is for score anymore? I mean, they still make them.
People don't want them.
I like them.
The bragging rights aren't as great as they used to be.
That's true.
You can actually share them with everyone in the world now, but you never actually know who looks at them.
Yeah, and also, you're not the top 10 guy in the world. You're probably not top 10 at your arcade.
I was one of the top 10 guys in the world on a random Flash game for a while. That doesn't mean anything, but I was.
Well, see, I think that's part of the issue, is that the high score stuff, it doesn't mean anything on the
Neither does
actual,
finishing a game.
It means something
like
to you.
Leaderboards. Finishing a game means something to the person who paid for it, I think.
You've experienced more content, if nothing else.
Getting a high score also means something to that person, though. Or beating your score.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
What I really like in Mario Kart, where they have set times for the time trials for you to beat.
Yeah, I actually really like that.
Well, set times is kind of like, that's how you do a time trial. Usually.
I also really like seeing where I compare against other people on that, except we don't have, like, explicit scores there. It's just, like, a bar.
Ghosts?
Well, I mean, you can download other people's ghosts, but it doesn't tell you, like, what the top time is. It's just, like, a bell curve, and it tells you where you place in the bell curve. So you can say, man, I am really slow compared to, like, 50% of people, or something to that effect. So, I don't know, maybe we're just not the right demographic. Like, maybe there are people who are... like our generation of gamer who actually play for high score. It's
I
just
like
not
playing
us.
For high score. I like repeating a level like 10 times in a game I like. Like in Star Fox, I enjoy doing that. Usually I like score walls for me to try and climb over, but I like them to be ridiculously high and seem unattainable at first.
No, I do definitely like having a set thing to beat, but just like playing for score in its own sake is just, I don't know. It doesn't do it for me.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I mean, I turn on the scoring mode in Halo, but it's not because... of any particular, I need to beat the score I had last time around in this game. It's usually because sometimes I can't necessarily see something around a corner.
Like Mega Man has a score?
Yeah.
And I have never even paid attention to it because that game's just so hard, I'm lucky to beat it, much less get a high score on it. Maybe that's why I don't like score. Maybe I just suck at video games too much.
Could be. You do suck at video games.
That is true.
Most of the games I enjoy playing don't even really use a score mechanic, now that I really think about it. I mean, League has one, but that's a competitive game, so it doesn't really count. Halo, you can turn it on, but I don't play Halo because I want to get a high score. I play Halo because I enjoy getting through the game. I enjoy the challenge.
Well, arguably, getting a higher score is even more challenge you could add on.
That is true.
Well, it's not even a challenge. It's hard to describe.
Well, and really, it's just an arbitrary metric of how well have you done at the game. And I think we've moved away from using score as that metric to advancement in the game as that metric. Because earlier games that used score were basically just the exact same thing over and over again. And it was, how long could you go without screwing up? And now it's, how long can you go without screwing up? Oh, you did it for one level worth? Well, here, have a new thing to experience. And I think we kind of moved away from the mastery of a single thing to quasi-mastery of a lot of things.
Each time you have a challenge, you add a different challenge in addition to completing the one you had before. So now instead of trying to complete two objectives, you're trying to complete three since you've proven you can do two.
And then there's Bomberman.
Well, I think in an ideal world, that's true, but I honestly think more games are like Bomberman.
The Suicide Simulator?
No, nothing changes. They just put, like, maybe a new coat of paint on it.
Yep.
Or give you a new fireball to shoot at people.
On the other hand, I mean, there's like Rogue Legacy. I love that game, and that's arguably just doing the same thing over and over.
Yeah, and you could call your currency score.
Yep.
It just has a thing where the score translates into future advancement.
You can invest your score in sucking less of the game. Or actually,
it's
artificially
sucking less,
making
the
game
easier.
Yeah.
I need a lot of that.
That's okay, because it gives it to you.
All right. We're taking a trip in the Wayback Machine to a game where you only had one thing to do.
Eat pellets. And also ghosts. And also fruit.
Eat.
Okay, well, fine.
Two things.
If you want to generalize it.
Yeah, well,
move.
Eat and don't get killed.
I think this is a game with the fewest inputs we've ever played, with four. I may be wrong.
Down, left, and right.
Yeah. Mario is close. It only has five.
Oh, I thought you could also run in Mario.
Well, yeah, which is arguably digital, and therefore greatly increases the number. But I was going to say run, jump, left, right, down. I guess fireball is six.
And also up.
It's just jump. You can't. Doing up does nothing.
Yeah.
The up button is useless in Super Mario Bros.
There are no weed ladders that you can climb?
Well, I guess you can't climb. Climb is another action, I guess.
It's just a very specific and limited action.
And so, Mario is probably the simplest game we've played. I can't think of one that's...
Except for Pac-Man.
Well, before this.
Yeah.
This is the intro.
I would agree with that. Zelda's pretty close. Actually, I think Zelda has fewer.
No,
but
Zelda.
But you have a lot of
inputs.
Different items.
Yeah.
And they all behave differently. While they're the same button, and therefore technically the same input, I would argue that they behave differently enough.
And doesn't,
I'll give you that, too.
Doesn't A do something, too? Like, B is sword? B is sword, A is item.
Yep.
So if you don't count the different items, you still have up, down, left, right, up.
A and B.
Yeah, item
so
and sword.
So it would still be six compared to...
It would still be the same as Mario. And then when you get in different items, it really expands. But Pac-Man's super simple and still pretty fun, actually.
Yeah, I can't play much of it at a time because it loses my attention, but it's fun for about 10 to 15 minute chunks.
I agree.
If you've never played Pac-Man, I don't even know.
You're in a maze. There are pellets. You have to eat all the pellets to advance the level. There are ghosts chasing you. There are big pellets that turn the ghosts blue, and then you eat them for extra points or just avoid them and try to finish the level.
Once you eat a ghost, they go back to the ghosts spawn in the center of the map. If you eat one, they have to go back there, and then they respawn.
Which gives you a little bit of time.
And while they are going back there, they cannot interact with you. They take the fastest route back. But you can't be killed by them while they are like that.
Also, two times per level, a fruit shows up, and you can eat it for more points.
And that's pretty much the entirety of this game. Does the original Pac-Man have that wall on the side that poofs you to the other side?
Yes. Yes, okay. There is a wall in the center that teleports you to the other side of the screen. Also, ghosts move half speed through there, so it's very good for losing ghosts.
And that's pretty much the entire game. You do basically the same level over and over, and the ghosts inputs are all faster.
The ghosts get faster, and the time that they're blue when you eat a power pellet gets shorter.
And Pac-Man moves faster. The entire game just speeds up, which is kind of an artificial difficulty cliff. It's more testing your input speed than anything.
Well, what else are you going to test?
Exactly. It's a simple enough game that you can't really do much
else.
Well,
sometimes
it's also testing your cognitive ability to like plan where you're
going to
go.
That's what I was about to say. Is planning your route and making sure you're not going to put yourself into a situation where you're pinning yourself in between ghosts.
I think the thing that makes this game really genuinely interesting, and the reason people have played it and tried to master it, and arguably they have mastered it,
is... Given that someone has achieved the maximum possible score in the game.
And multiple people have. It's about how fast can you do it now. I think there are like 8 people who have done it.
That's just ridiculous.
Yeah. But anyway, is that the ghosts all have a different AI, and they all act differently and predictably.
Yeah.
Although it appears random to me, but that's just because I suck.
It was originally, the names were supposed to, like, describe kind of how each one of them moved. Like, I think Red was supposed to be Chaser, but they changed them in the English.
So it was like Inky, Binky,
Blinky, and, yeah.
And Clyde or something.
Yeah, it's like Clyde, Blinky, Inky, and I think it's another Inky.
Yeah, it's Inky, Blinky, Winky, and Clyde.
And then...
They also have a second English name, too. And the red one is Shadow, but that's the only one I know.
Huh. I did not know that. That might be more descriptive.
That might be part of it. They might have those for like the descriptor to try and tell you what they do. But I know that they got them screwed up.
So the red one will always try to chase you and try to just go after you. They all also have a home corner that they go to at the start of the game. And if they can't find you, they will go to their home corner and then they'll start looking for you. They don't know where you are unless they have line of sight on you.
I did not know that.
And in fact, there are two places on the map where you're, actually only one, where you're safe if there's no line of sight to you, which the really good Pac-Man players will use since there's no pause feature to go get some tasty snacks.
Huh, I didn't know that.
Neither did I. I thought they just knew where you were.
No, they need line of sight on you. If one of them has line of sight, all of them do.
Okay.
But one of them needs line of sight.
Because presumably the ghost is going, hey guys, he's over here.
Let's get him.
The pink one will always try to move 2 squares in front of you. The blue one has a complex algorithm where it basically tries to get you between him and the red one and then slowly closes in on you. I don't remember exactly how it works. He wants to be, I think, twice as far in front of you as the red one is behind you.
I've definitely been
like that.
Screwed over by that pincer movement before.
Yeah, the blue one is ridiculous.
And the orange one is supposed to be random. Basically, he will move towards you if he's more than 6 squares away and towards his corner if he's not.
It appears more or less random from my perspective, though. So.
Well, that's the intention.
Yeah, the idea was that for the normal player, he would be, or the entire set of ghosts would appear random. For the guys who played it a lot and, you know, learned it, they would notice the behaviors of each of the ghosts.
Which is what gives the game depth and why there's a reason to maybe try and play this game for
even,
perfection.
Like, what, 30 years after its initial release?
Yeah. Also, the score is multiplies for each ghost you eat when you eat ghosts. The first one is 200, then 400, then 16, then 3200.
Oh, not 8 and then 16?
Yeah, I don't know why it's 16 and 32, but it is. So getting all the ghosts is a ton of points if that's what your concern is. And like we said at the top of the show, these games are kind of about score.
Because there is an end to Pac-Man technically, but there isn't really a way to beat Pac-Man.
Well, some people consider getting to level 255 and finishing beating it. Even though there is another level that you go to, it's just you can't go on half the screen, and therefore you can't eat the pellets there. You could hypothetically survive forever on that level.
It just glitches.
Can the ghost go on the other half of the screen?
I believe so.
Oh, lame.
But I've never gotten there.
Is the maximum score take into account that last level 256?
I don't remember.
Can actually get on?
I do know that you actually can't display it because it's 3 million something, and this game only goes over up to 999,000.
Yeah.
Before it rolls over.
That's neat.
Interesting.
I don't know. That arbitrary limit on old games always seems weird to me. Like, they're like, we're going to allocate 3 bytes to this, but then we're going to cap it at this amount. I don't know. That seems like a waste of space. And as a frugal programmer...
Well, it's a waste of a certain kind of space. When you look at screen space, they might have said, well, we don't have space for this last digit. So even though we have technically more space, we wouldn't be able to display it anyway.
And they
true.
Probably didn't think anybody would really be able to do that.
That hadn't occurred to me, though.
Well, to be fair, the programmer did want the game to be infinitely playable. He wanted it to be in theory that if you were good enough on a single quarter, you could play forever. But they messed up in the programming.
It's not a bug, it's a feature.
No, it's a bug in this case.
Ow. I don't know. There's not a whole lot to say about it. It's a fun game.
I can see why it endured. I can't see why it had a Saturday morning cartoon.
Probably because it was super popular way back when.
That's definitely why, but...
Like, I can understand why this game was popular, too, although, never mind. I was going to say, Asteroids never had a Saturday morning cartoon, but it totally did.
So, after they made the most successful arcade game ever, Namco needed a follow-up.
And good luck with that, guys.
Well, we keep trying to make mazes, but none of them are as fun as Pac-Man. Why don't we make a game where you make your own maze?
Which sounds like pretty awesome in theory.
And they made Dug Dug.
Yeah, maze. Right, maze.
So, the idea with Dig Dug is you start out in the middle of a patch of dirt, and there are enemies inside of their own little empty patches of dirt, and you can dig over to them, attach a pump hook to them,
and kill them
and inflate
dead.
Them to death.
Yeah. While they're inflated, they can't hurt you. You can walk through them. You can also dig out rocks and drop them on them, and that will kill them. And the deeper you go in the maze, the dirt is different colors, the more score enemies are worth.
So I couldn't quite do the enemies have to be in that color, or do
I believe the enemies do.
Okay. I was kind of experimenting with it, but wasn't consistently good enough to actually figure it out.
And like Pac-Man, after a certain amount of time, a vegetable will appear at the spawn point, or eventually the Galaga ship, and you can collect that for extra points.
Yay.
Yeah.
There are two types of enemies. Man, I can't remember what the first ones are called. Bookies?
Like, they're like little blowfish.
It starts with
a
B. They just sort of walk around, and if you touch them, you're dead. The other are Flygars, which are these little dragon guys that can breathe fire. And so you get extra points if you kill them while you're parallel to them, because they could, in theory, breathe fire on you and kill you.
Oh, I was wondering where I got more points for that.
Oh, I didn't even notice.
Another interesting thing is you can attach your blowhook through very thin dirt, although they can also breathe fire through that thin dirt.
So they also have to be, like, touching the thin dirt because it actually stops your hook. You just have, like,
pixel
pass it.
I've been able to get through, like, shoot
sometimes
it through.
If it's thin enough, it'll go for the full distance.
Really? I was not ever able to do that. And that's probably a bug.
It's pretty tricky.
And if there's only one enemy left, he will flee to try to deny you his points.
Which is amazing.
I actually really like that. It's like, no, get back here! And you go chasing after him to try and get your points.
Because all the enemies are in their like own little chambers, you basically had to dig into them to get them. And this game sounds really easy in theory, except the enemies can randomly go intangible and like walk through dirt walls to get to you.
Yeah, they turn into like these spooky ghosts. TM.
And they seem to do so at random, as far as I can tell. The only thing that I found that prevents them from stopping is if they could get to you by walking, then they will not turn into ghosts.
So a lot of times they're just like, hey, I'm going to go kill this thing. Oh no, everything turned into ghosts and is after me. I guess I'm just going to run. And there are still some things you can do. You can lure them under rocks and drop rocks on them, and that's pretty gratifying. But
dropping rocks on stuff is always gratifying.
You can dig yourself a hole away from them, which helps.
Kind of, but they usually move faster than you do when you're digging.
But
like moving through empty space, you move just as fast as they do. But when digging, you're actually slower.
But they don't actually chase you once they're not ghosts. They're kind of stupid, so.
Yeah, and that just really killed the game for me. Like I said, in Pac-Man, what makes it interesting is the enemy's behavior is always predictable if you're good. And even if you're not, you can pretty much tell where they're going because they only have a limited number of moves. The same set as you, actually. And also, if you're not eating pellets in Pac-Man, you move faster. So you can use that as escape. There's the escape tunnel that sends you to the other side of the screen, like we said. And there are the power pellets that make you invincible. There are lots of different moves. And Dig Dug, you're just sort of at the mercy of the enemies when they go intangible.
Yeah, I mean, you are more offensive in Dig Dug because you have the pump
weapon. And
that's,
in fact, the entire point of it is you go around killing them.
Yeah, I mean, your guy is obviously clearly a sociopath invading these creatures' homes and slaughtering them. But, you know, that added offensive capability doesn't make up for the fact that there isn't enough else to do. In fact, it feels like you have less agency than you do in Pac-Man.
Yeah, and I think actually in video games, being the underdog is better. Pac-Man in a lot of gateways feels like a game of tag, with the ghosts having their home base and you having the little invincibility points, and it feels like you're being chased. And Dig Dug, it just kind of, I don't know.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like you're ghost busting. It doesn't feel like you're to exterminate these things, or like you're making your own maze.
There are only two types of enemies, and they don't really have different movement patterns.
Also, you can travel vertically up and down. The enemies can only do so when they're in ghost form, so they're never really going through your maze that you made.
It lacks a lot of the depth that I think the concept promises, and definitely that Pac-Man has.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have ever thought of Pac-Man as having depth, but having played
this game right after it.
I think Pac-Man, like Mario, is a very simple concept that has a lot of depth. Mario has a lot more going on in terms of variation of challenge, though, and also variation of just color. I mean, stage one of Mario for all 8 worlds is pretty much the same, but they use different colors and give you different challenges, and they feel real different. Pac-Man is that old black maze every time.
Black and blue.
Yeah, well.
It's got blue borders.
And white power pellets. And colored ghosts. And yellow Pac-Man.
I would also like to comment that both of these games are freely playable online.
So. Well, they're so old.
Yeah, exactly.
They're basically public domain.
Most of the free Pac-Man versions don't have the ghost AI, right?
Oh, really?
Yeah, because most of them are. No one stole the code, because Namco would actually have rights to be testy about that. And it's so easy to program your own that a lot just give the ghost random programming.
Huh. I did not know that.
I didn't know either.
I actually didn't play either of these online, but they exist.
Oh, I had a Pac-Man knockoff on my Windows 95 computer when I was a kid. So I learned lots about Pac-Man and why that version sucked.
Jeremy, what are we playing next week?
Well, I was thinking about some more old NES games. And actually, I've got a bunch of free money on the Wii U Virtual Console. So I wanted to play something on there. And I decided on Mega Man 3, since we have like 12 more Mega Mans to get through before this podcast is over.
Another game in a dead franchise. All right, this ought to be fun.
It's actually not a dead franchise. A Mega Man game came out last year.
It, really?
Yeah, Mega Man ZX or something.
Oh, no, ZX has been out for a while. It's actually a really good game, but probably a sequel to that or something. I don't even know. They're just adding arbitrary letters from the end of the alphabet to it now, and they're like, what's cooler than X? Z. Anyway.
Z is clearly the best.
Well, what about Y?
Y is not bad, but Z
what
is
What about
best.
Alpha?
Z.
What about Wolverine?
Although
he's the best that he is at what he does, and what he does is a letter.
There's also Mega Man Battle Force Alpha Star or something to that effect.
Yeah. Next time on Last Time, Mega Man adjectives. This has been a production of Last Time on Video Games. Copyright 2014.
All the video games and other media mentioned herein are copyright of their respective owners.
Unfortunately, I don't own Square Enix. You can contact us at LTOVG at lasttimeonvideogames.com, or Tyler at lasttimeonvideogames.com,
or Jeremy, G-E-R-E-M-Y, at lasttimeonvideogames.com,
and the best one, Zach, at lasttimeonvideogames.com.
Our primary source of interaction is lasttimeonvideogames.com, where you can find all sorts of written material in addition to the podcast.
If you want to follow us on Google+, plus.google.com/plus/lasttimeonvideogames.
If you're one of those weird people who uses Twitter, we are at LTOVG.
Quick, press X. Too late. You failed. The podcast is over. Tyler, what are we going to play next week?
It is, I think it's not my turn.
Oh, it's my turn, huh?
Yeah, it's my turn on the next
podcast. It is, you're right. Someone ask me what we're playing next week.
Jeremy, what are we playing next week?